And Kentucky had always been a state that worked hard to achieve compromise between the sections. We've touched on that before as well. It's in a difficult position, right on the great border area between the North and the South. And when sectional controversy would heat up, Kentucky felt it especially hard in many ways, and its statesmen over the years had worked to achieve compromise. It had voted, the state had, for John Bell and the Union in 1860. And Henry Clay, who so often pushed for compromise over many decades, the Missouri Compromise, the Compromise of 1850, and so forth, and John J. Crittenden, who had tried to find a compromise in late 1860 and early 1861, Clay and Crittenden, I think, represent the compromising spirit of the state of Kentucky when it came to sectional tensions and sectional problems. The description of the war as a brother's war had real meaning in Kentucky. Three of Henry Clay's grandsons fought for the Union. Four fought for the Confederacy. And in John J. Crittenden's family, one of his sons became a United States general during the war. One of his sons became a Confederate general during the war. So these families in Kentucky are literally divided by this great conflict. Kentucky at first hoped to remain neutral. It's sort of pathetic to think about it, really, that the state thought that amid this enormous cataclysm, they could be an island of neutrality, the citizens of Kentucky could. But that's what they tried to do at first. They sent no troops in response to Lincoln's call for 75,000 volunteers, and they declined to meet a similar request from Jefferson Davis. The governor of the state, a man named Beriah McGoffin, was pro-Southern. He issued a proclamation of neutrality. We will stand aloof from what's going on in this nation, in effect, is what he said. Well, that condition lasted from May until September 1861. During this time, Lincoln made no move to coerce Kentucky. He didn't want to push Kentucky, and neither did Davis. They hoped that Kentucky would come their way, each of the presidents did, and they wanted to avoid some overt act that would alienate the state and its people. Well, while this uneasy time is passing, individual Kentuckians were making their choice. Some went into the United States Army, some went into the Confederate Army, some went into pro-Confederate militia units, some went into pro-Union militia units in the state. There was a thriving trade in military supplies that went on between Kentucky and the Confederacy. But in the end, Lincoln's hands-off policy paid off. In special elections for Congress in June and for the state legislature in August, Unionists won convincingly in Kentucky. And on September 3rd, 1861, the crucial moment arrived, because on that date, Confederate General Leonidas Polk ordered Southern troops to occupy Columbus, Kentucky, a strong point on the Mississippi River, a key position that overlooked the river and would allow the Confederates to place artillery there and try to frustrate Northern attempts to penetrate the Confederacy via the Mississippi River. It might have been a wise military move. In a strictly military sense, it was. Gave the Confederates this great spot from which to contest Union naval advances. But politically, it was a disaster. And the political side was more important than the military, because the Unionist legislature in Kentucky condemned what they called these Confederate invaders. They asked the federal government to help drive the Confederates out, and they created a military force to oppose Confederates in the state. Kentucky had made its choice. It had chosen to remain in the Union, an official part of the United States. That didn't mean that sentiment came together, however. Sentiment remained divided. In Kentucky, there were still many thousands of pro-Confederate people in Kentucky. The secessionist minority, in fact, called a convention of its own in November 1861 and voted to join the Confederacy. In fact, there's a star in the Confederate flag for Kentucky. There are only 11 Confederate states. The Confederate flag has 13 stars. One of those is for Kentucky. Kentucky didn't really leave the Union, but this minority pretended they did, and the Confederacy pretended that it was all on the level. Kentucky sent nearly 75,000 men into the Union armies, 50,000 of them white, the rest black men, and 35,000 Kentuckians fought with the Confederate Army.